T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Boy, last night, something happened in New Orleans that happens pretty much every day. Someone was shot, this time in the face. And the person who was shot in the face, and he was shot in the face near City Park. He then drove himself home to Gentilly, and then he died. And it always makes you wonder. Whenever I see a story, I always try to put myself into the shoes or the position of the person who is in the story. And I've lived in New Orleans now almost 12 years. And I'm thinking to myself, if I got shot in the face, I probably would have driven myself to the hospital if that was me before I drove myself home. And again, I don't like to speculate, because you never know exactly what you would do unless it was you in the position of the person in the story that you're reading about. But a guy, about 7:30 last night, or 7:45, he's in, a man is near City Park here in New Orleans, and he was shot in the face. In the face! But he drove himself to his home in Gentilly. The New Orleans police officers got a call about 10 minutes to 8 last night, about 7:50. And when they arrived at the scene, they found a male victim with a gunshot wound to the face. And then they put everything together, and they realized this guy got shot in the face near City Park. He drove himself home to Gentilly. And then the call came in, and by the time they got to the guy, they transported him to the hospital. And the man died in the hospital. I wonder why he drove himself home instead of, I mean, if he was able to drive, at least try to either drive to a hospital. Or if he was able to do that, if he had a cell phone, why wouldn't he call 911? But you don't see that headline every day. You saw on New Orleans websites this morning: man shot in the face, drove himself home. And I know that our history-making mayor, LaToya Cantrell, I call her LaTweeta because LaToya loves Twitter. She loves to tweet and retweet, and she likes things. LaTweeta says that the murder rate in this city has gone down this year, which it has. I mean, if you look through what's this morning's date? December 5th?
6th.
December 6th. If you look through December 6th of last year, of 2018, not as many people have been murdered.
Little comfort that is, though, to the families of those that have been killed this year.
No, but we hear, like, when there was the mass shooting last weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, for the Bayou Classic Grambling State Southern University football game, when the 10 people got shot. LaTuita Cantrell said, I'm not going to let this incident, she called a mass shooting an incident. She said, I'm not going to let this incident, ruin what's been going on around here, because the murder rate in the city of New Orleans is down. Like, it's down by about, 25 people.
It's not really cause for celebration.
No, but...
And no one's saying she's celebrating, but...
And look, I'll agree. I mean, the numbers don't lie. But if you ask me why the murder rate is down in New Orleans, if you ask me, is it better police work? Well, no. The fact is, we have more hospitals this year than we had last year. And we have more doctors and more surgeons. And I don't have the exact number of how many people have been shot. I don't know if that's gone down, the number of people who have been shot through December 6th of 2019 compared to through December 6th of 2018. But in my opinion, the reason why the murder rate, the number has gone down, is because in more hospitals. I know we got one out in New Orleans East now. We've never had that in recent history. And we have we have more doctors and more surgeons, and they're getting the work done. I don't know where we're going to finish, but by the end of this month, we'll be able to look at all of the year-end numbers, and if 20 or 25 less people were murdered this year than last year, I guess our history-making mayor LaTuita Cantrell can say, yeah, see, that the number of murders have gone down, but people are still getting shot every day here in New Orleans, and we are one of the few places on planet Earth where people get shot every day. And I just saw this story yesterday, and I just started thinking to myself, man, a guy got shot in the face, and then he drove home instead of either driving to a hospital or pulling over and calling 911. And with our city now decriminalizing marijuana, You don't get thrown into the New Orleans jail, the Orleans Justice Center, the Orleans Parish Prison 2.0. You don't get thrown in there anymore for smoking a joint or getting caught smoking a joint or having a joint. And I've always used the analogy, well, I think that's right, because I think someone who gets arrested for smoking weed or having a little bit of weed should not be put in the same jail cell, or at least put in a jail cell right next to someone who just shot someone in the face. So that's not happening anymore, but people are still getting shot in the face here in the city of New Orleans. All right, coming up on the show this morning, some Tulane students might have to take a boat to class this morning. There's been some water break up there, and you need a boat to get around some streets this morning uptown New Orleans. We'll have the latest on that coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock Led Zeppelin. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show.
Hey, look, it's...
Day. I thought we didn't do that on the show.
Oh, that's right. Lost that note, that memo.
You remember a couple of months ago on this radio program, we talked a few times about the story from the Tiger truck stop here in Louisiana in Iberville Parish. The Tiger truck stop has made news for years. It made news because they used to have a real live tiger there. You could pull off the highway and you could get gas and a quick bite to eat and see a tiger. And they have other animals there as well.
You could see it wheezing and coughing from diesel fumes, and it was miserable.
That's what the animal rights activists thought, and that place used to make news for years, because every year or every couple of years or every few years, there would be a lawsuit where some animal rights activist group would be suing the Tiger truck stop in Iberville Parish, saying, you know, the truck stop, it's a place for gas and it's a place for snacks and place to go to the bathroom, but it's not a place for tigers, for wild tigers. And the owner of that place used to battle with these animal rights activist groups all the time. And the tiger always, the truck stop always won, because the tiger always stayed there. And you know, the owner said it was good for business. People would come in to see the tiger and
wheezing.
You know, people, if they needed gas or if they had gas, you know, they'd pull their car off and to the truck stop, and they could take care of all of those things and see a tiger. And then the tiger died, and the Tiger truck stop was back in the news.
Oh, they have a camel now, by the way.
A few months ago. That's why it was back in the news. And by the way, the Tiger truck stop is up there. It has Casper the camel. And that's why it made news. That's why we talked about it, because this older couple from Florida was driving through, and the woman got into the Casper the camel's cage. Casper the camel ended up sitting on her, and to escape, the woman had to bite Casper the camel's testicles.
Well, because they were traveling, and I believe they were walking the dog.
Yes.
Their dog, and the dog somehow got into the camel cage.
That's the story.
It happens.
And the woman had to go and rescue her dog, and when she got into Casper the camel's cage, Casper sat on her, and then she had to get off. She had to
to extract herself from under the camel.
She had to bite the camel in the junk. And by the way, the camel was fine. The camel went the camel went and got a tetanus shot. Because the owner...
Of its own accord.
Yeah, the owner of the truck stop, Casper the Camel, or anyone associated with him, had no idea what this older woman from Florida had. She might have been carrying something. And when you get your junk bitten like that, then you need some... But he was fine.
See, I can refer to junk as... Junk is on the other side. Junk is in the rear. Junk in the trunk. I don't refer to... But go ahead.
Well...
It's your animal kingdom. Go ahead.
And then that story, a lot of people were talking about it. We talked about it a few times because, you know, then the owner of the truck stop said, "What are you doing in the camel cage?" You know, when she came out of the camel cage saying that I had to bite the camel in the testicles, you know, the owner's like, "Well, what are you doing in there?" And then she said the dog went in there, and then she had to chase the dog.
Did we ever find out what happened to the dog? Did she retrieve the dog?
Yeah, the dog's fine.
Oh.
Okay. But the story the woman told did not match the story that
the camel told.
The video, no, not the camel.
Oh.
The video cameras that were all around there, because everything we do in the year 2019 seemingly on video, there are cameras everywhere. And after the authorities, the police were called in, along with the owner of the Tiger truck stop. After they looked at all the video,
the game warden too, I believe.
After they looked at all the video, they realized that the lady's story wasn't matching up with what she said, and It made big news. And just when you thought that that story was over, if you drive around there, if you're driving on Interstate 10 between Port Allen and Gross Tet.
That's beautiful Gross Tet.
Up there by the truck stop, the Tiger truck stop, you will see a large billboard now on the side of the interstate. And the billboard has a picture of Casper the Camel. And it says, stop in for gas and a bite. Next exit, Tiger truck stop. Creative billboard.
Clever.
Yes. How about that? And I think that's a good way of taking advantage of an unfortunate incident. I mean, any animal who has his testicles bitten by an older woman from Florida, I have sympathy for that animal.
Well, I know Casper for several weeks was sitting on one of those rings, one of those donut rings that you have to sit on if you've had a procedure in that area. I wonder if he's off the ring.
And you know, Casper the Camel is only one of several exotic animals that live at the truck stop.
Further compounding the problem, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure, you know, after this story continues to be big, I'm sure there's going to be animal rights activists and people maybe from PETA, the people for the ethical treatment of animals. Maybe they're going to want these exotic animals out of the cages, out of their living conditions in the truck stop on the side of the highway. Although their living conditions are pretty good. You know, the owner there says, look, we treat our wild animals great. Some say they live better there in their enclosements than they would in the wild woods.
In their traps, you mean?
Well, they
breathing diesel fumes.
Some say they seem to be happy.
They get all the beef jerky they want, I know that.
And he does not want to get rid of his animals, the owner of the Tiger truck stop. He says, what do you think? I just want to be another truck stop? What do you think? I just want to be another place where people come maybe for gas.
And beef jerky?
A quick bite and maybe some sex. Do some sex.
Well,
highway rest areas are known for that. You ever see that movie?
Yeah, well.
Ever see that movie, There's Something About Mary?
Well, that's not exactly
one of the funny scenes in the highway rest area.
I wouldn't call that a rest area necessarily, but I mean, yes. There are places to pull over, shall we say.
When I was a kid, we lived not far from an interstate, and there was a highway rest area on the interstate, and they had a game room, a video game room. And in the 80s, that was a big deal, an arcade. And we used to go there and play the video games, and my parents and other friends' parents would be like, you're hanging out at the highway rest stop because they have a room now that has Pac-Man?
Right.
Yeah, you know, and my father used to tell me, just look out for shady-looking truckers who are looking for gay sex with young you know, males.
Right.
Where are you going, John? I'm going to play Pac-Man. Okay, watch out for the truckers who are looking for some gay sex with...
My story is similar to that. We played video games, played Asteroids mainly, at the Golden Palms Pool Hall, where almost no gay sex happened.
Well, remember to look for that billboard. It's an entertaining one if you're driving on Interstate 10.
And you're looking for Casper the Camel.
In between Port Allen and, as mentioned,
beautiful Gross Tet.
Gross Tet, Louisiana, there will be the big billboard on the side of the interstate that says, it's got a big picture of a camel, and that's Casper the Camel. Stop in and for gas and a bite. Next exit, Tiger Truck Stop. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Did you see any of the NFL Thursday night football game last night between the Dallas Cowboys and the Chicago Bears?
It was too ugly. I had to turn it off.
It really was. 2-6-6 teams, and two teams who have been disappointing this year. I mean, you go back to the beginning of the season. With that defense the Bears have, a lot of people were saying at the beginning of the season, at least in preseason, with their young quarterback having a year more experience, Mitchell Trubisky, that and that defense, that the Chicago Bears were a legitimate Super Bowl contender, and they just haven't been that good this year. They've won three in a row now, but the Dallas Cowboys, they have the number one offense in the NFL when it comes to yards gained, how many yards they get. Dak Prescott has thrown for more yards than any other quarterback in the NFL. They have the number one offense in the NFL. They have a top 10 defense in the NFL, yet they are now under 500. They are 6 wins in 7 losses after losing in Chicago to the Bears last night. It's a bizarre scene, man.
In defense of any football head coach or baseball manager, you will often hear the phrase, well, he doesn't suit up. He doesn't, well, baseball managers suit up, but they don't play the game. What they do is not between the lines. But when you take a team that has Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, the defense, as you mentioned, I don't know how you can call that. I mean, I don't know if it's a locker room situation, if Garrett has lost the team, or it's just he's got that deer in the headlights.
Yeah,
look.
He's
checked out.
He's gone at the end of the year.
But he may be gone before the end of the year.
How possibly could you have the number one offense in the NFL and a top 10 defense and lose more games than you win? It's incredible. I don't know if we've ever seen anything like this before. And the sad thing is, they could still make the playoffs at 6 wins and 7 losses because everybody in their division stinks this year. And they're still in first place. Being under 500, this could be a season where an NFL team loses more games than they win and still win their division and get in the playoffs. And they could have a higher seed than, let's say, a 3-loss team. Because the division winner is always the higher seed than one of the wild card teams,
and they may still fire their head coach at the end of the year. It's nuts.
Well,
it's insane.
There's a perfect example of an owner ruining a team, because before Jerry Jones owned the Dallas Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys made it to at least the conference championship game 1 out of every 3 years in their history. Going back, we're going back now to before Jerry Jones bought the team. They made it to either the Super Bowl or the NFC Championship game 1 out of every 3 years. That's why they were America's team. They won. They used to be something. Jerry Jones bought the team. The greatest move he ever made, he undid when he hired Jimmy Johnson, and then he fired Jimmy Johnson. Because he wanted more of the credit. He wanted more of the responsibility. He wanted to be more in the driver's seat because he owned the team. And they've never, ever, ever recovered from him firing Jimmy Johnson. And makes you wonder how many Super Bowls they would have won if he was able to put his ego in the back seat and just let Jimmy Johnson do his thing. They could have won 7, 8, 9. They 10. They could have won that many. But it just goes to show you, when an owner, and look, he can do whatever he wants, it's his money, but when an owner absolutely destroys something, and he rendered his NFL team irrelevant for the last 25 years. I mean, a once proud organization, and now, because of their owner and his meddling, it's his fault. Again, I think he would have rings on every finger on both hands if he kept Jimmy Johnson as head coach.
Great headline in The Onion after the Thanksgiving Day loss. Cowboys part ways with Jerry Jones. The statement is, we figured he just doesn't fit into our future plans.
And
that was brilliant.
I think many, if not most, Cowboy fans would agree with that. And this Sunday, the Saints, 10-2, playing the San Francisco 49ers, who are also 10-2. This is the game of the week in the NFL. And do you see the ticket prices for this game? We'll tell you about that coming up. This isn't only the biggest ticket in town. This is the biggest ticket in the country, in the NFL this weekend. here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show.
Coming up this morning at 8:05, we're going to visit with founding member and I think one of the coolest guys in rock and roll, and that would be Patrick Simmons of the Doobie Brothers. Those tickets go on sale for their 50th anniversary show, which comes to the Smoothie King Center next October, with Michael McDonald, and that is rare. That hasn't happened in many years. Those tickets go on sale this morning at 10 o'clock. If you don't want to wait, go to the website right now in Santa's huge sack and register for your chance to win a pair of Doobie Brothers tickets by U957.com.
Well, the reason Michael McDonald came back to the Doobie Brothers is because it's the 50th anniversary of the band. It's their 50th year together.
Yes.
So let's go around and tour. Yeah, that'll be a fun interview. I saw this story I put it on our website, and I put the woman's mugshot on our website at Bayou957.com.
Oh no.
If you want to take a look after you hear this. Teaching assistant arrested for sexually abusing student to turn him straight.
What?
Well, we know about the, you don't think it's a trend, but we see it all the time, the stories of attractive female teachers getting arrested for doing sex.
No, you don't define
with their underage male students.
You don't define a trend as something that happens all the time. You're just hearing about it more.
But then you've got stories like this, where this 51-year-old, very large teacher, she wasn't even a teacher. She's a teaching assistant. She's trying to be like a teacher and do sex with an underage student. But she's 51 years old, and she's a big woman, and she just got arrested. A teaching assistant. This is in the Houston, Texas area. A teaching assistant who was accused of doing sex with a student on four occasions may have been trying to turn him straight, according to statements she made to police and the victim. 51-year-old Tadria Flulin.
I'm sorry, what's her name?
Tedria, T-E-D-R-I-A.
Okay.
Flulin, F-L-U-E-L-L-E-N.
I think that's going around, the Tedria Flulin.
Ugh.
You probably want to get vaccinated for that.
She was a teaching assistant in Houston, and she met the victim while working at Worthing High School, as well as she attended the same church as the victim. She's 51 years old, and looking at her mugshot, the mugshot cuts off after her third chin. You know, and if this woman... If she thought that this, by the way, the student who she met at church and in the high school, student was 15 years old, 16 years old. Actually, it started when he was just turning 16 from 15. She said to him, quote, according to the police report, "You don't have to be gay," unquote. And then she said, "Come here." And I'm looking at the size of this woman in her mugshot. I don't think this is the woman that's going to turn a young gay guy straight. There may be some women who can do that. I'm not really sure about that either, because I think you're born that way.
Her mugshot, she doesn't have that look like, yeah, what are you looking at? She has that, like, bitch, I'll sit on you. That's what her... mugshot looks like.
Is the mugshot you're looking at like the one I am? Does it cut off after the second or third chin?
I count four, and then it cuts off. Three and a half.
If this woman cornered me, she might turn me gay. I don't think this is the woman that's gonna change any young gay man's mind about, you know what? Yeah, now after I've hung out with you, this is the way to go.
Right. This is what you're missing. You see all this? This is what you're missing.
If you want to see the mugshot in the story, we have it on our website at Bayou957.com. Now, the victim...
I would not... I don't know if you would want to look at it on an empty stomach or have food on your stomach. Well, I guess probably empty stomach.
This is one of these rare occasions where I really would refer to the underage boy who did sex with teachers, female teachers. This is one of the times, one of the cases where I would use the word victim. Because in most cases, when I've seen the mugshots and the pictures of the teachers, many of the teachers are really good looking. They're really hot, easy on the eyes. And I remember being a 15, 16-year-old boy. And you can call it a double standard, and it is a double standard. Because any male teacher who does that to a 15 or 16-year-old girl should be beaten, tarred, and thrown in jail. But I remember being a 15 and 16-year-old boy, and most of these teachers that get arrested these days for doing sex with the underage male students, that would be my fantasy. It would be my lifelong dream. But then I see a woman like this.
According to the police report, the victim lived with his grandmother, and when she was out of town, once Fluellen came to visit, she allegedly gave the victim's cousin a drink that contained alcohol and an unknown medication and said, quote, it's going to knock him out.
Yeah, the victim said that he knew Miss Fluellen. That's Tedria or Tedria Fluellen.
Just pick one, please. Pick one.
The victim said he knew her for a few years and that he would sometimes help her out with tasks at her home or moving things out of her storage unit. He was 16 last year in 2018 when the sex started. She told the victim, quote, you don't have to be gay, unquote, and then proceeded to do sex with him. Oh, my God. I'm just thinking about this whole thing and looking at while I'm looking at the mugshot. Jesus! The victim said that he was at her home and she did oral sex on him.
Ugh. I think I would turn asexual.
Yeah.
Just no thanks.
And this happened,
I'm out.
This happened several times, at least four or five different occasions. Once at his house, once in her car, before school started. Once again, in her storage unit. Storage unit sex. And not only, Brewster, like you said, did she give him alcohol. Evidently.
With something else in it.
Yeah, he was on either, he was taking an unknown medication or she slipped him an unknown medication. Maybe she wanted to slip him a Mickey and knock him out.
And then turn him out. Fluellen admitted to police that she had had oral sex with the victim, but I'm not going to finish that sentence. She said that his life was, quote, not the lifestyle for him, and that another student was, quote, trying to turn him out, slang for having sex with another man.
Jesus, just taking a look at this mugshot, this woman would send anybody who's questioning their sexuality into the exact place that she didn't want to send him. Looking at this woman, this 16-year-old boy is going to run any guy he can find. They're taking a look at this. Anyways, so this is a unique story. Usually when we do stories about the teachers, the female teachers doing sex with the underage, their students, male students, I remember being that underage male student, and I look at the pictures and I say, boy, oh boy, those lucky kids. Here, in this situation, the only words that come to mind are Jesus, Son of God. If you want to see the mugshot of this teaching assistant, please do it. She's not even a teacher yet. She's an assistant teacher, but she's getting in on what a lot of these female teachers are getting into as well here in the year 2019. Go to our website and check it out. Ooh, here on Bayou95.7.com. Bayou95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Did you see what happened in the Miami, Florida area yesterday during afternoon rush hour traffic? Someone stole a UPS truck and tried to make a getaway. Now, I don't know why someone would try to steal a UPS truck. You know, if you're a carjacker, it would be probably more to your advantage to try to steal or jack a car that's not so identified like the UPS truck is. It's big, it's brown, it says UPS. But someone stole a UPS truck.
I'm going to take a wild guess and say that those trucks have, you might refer to it as like a governor. They're not going to go over 55 miles an hour, if that. It's not going to be something you can mash to the floor and all of a sudden you're going 100. I'm just going to...
Yeah, out of all the cars or trucks or vans you could steal, really? You steal a UPS truck? Well, again, this happened in Florida. So
right.
This is a Florida man. This is a Florida person. So
two people, actually.
Two people. So, nothing is that crazy if someone from Florida. But this was during the afternoon rush hour traffic, and then maybe a governor-controlled chase. I was going to say a high-speed chase, but then a chase happened.
I don't think so.
And four people that ended up dead. This thing ended. Not only did these people steal a UPS truck, a shootout happened after the police chase, during the police chase, after the police chase. Four people ended up dead.
Including the driver, sadly, a young father.
I mean, how awful is that? Four people, including a UPS driver, were killed yesterday after robbers stole the driver's truck and led police on a chase that ended in gunfire. And again, this happened during the rush hour traffic on the highways around Miami, Florida.
The driver who had been a UPS driver for just about 5 years leaves behind a one-year-old daughter.
So sad. Both robbers also were shot and killed. And then and you just mentioned the third dead person, the driver of the UPS truck. Poor guy, all he was doing, he went to work trying to support his family, and look what happens. And then a fourth victim was in a nearby vehicle, and he was hit when the shots rang out at a crowded intersection in Miramar, Florida. That's just down the road from Miami. It's a little bit north from downtown Miami. It's where their football stadium is. It's right next to Miramar, where the Dolphins play football. But this made the news yesterday because there were television news helicopters that were showing this. And usually when you see a police chase, it's almost always in Southern California. Almost always. That I don't know why. But this one was from the Miami, Florida area in a sad story, but who?
Well, obviously, they're not taking the truck to use the getaway. They're taking the truck for its perceived contents, obviously.
Well, that's probably why they're stealing, because it's the holidays, it's Christmas time. There's a lot
exactly.
of stuff inside the UPS truck. But how far do these idiots think they're going to get in a stolen UPS truck? All right, coming up next, we look at today in history. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next. On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. The classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Time for us now to look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
December 6th. It was today in 2004.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Boy, this sounds familiar. One of the worst-kept secrets in rock and roll becomes a secret no longer as Motley Crue announce they are reforming for the first time to tour in 5 years. That was today in 2004. Did that just happen this week? Last week, Motley Crue, they're going on tour with Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts at Stadium Tour for 2020. That tour isn't scheduled for New Orleans yet. I guess I see one in Dallas. I see one in Houston. So if you want to relive the 80s, at least for right now, it's not coming to the Superdome. But they did the same thing today in 2004. We're not broken up anymore. We're getting back and we're going to tour. And that's something. December 6th. It was today in 1994.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Pearl Jam released their third album, Vitalogy. Pretty good, but not nearly as good as their first two albums. And then it would just pretty much, at least commercially successful standpoint, go downhill from there. You know, you start looking at bands who had the greatest first two albums in rock history. I think you would have to put Pearl Jam with their first two albums, 10 and Versus, right at the top of that list when you look at rock bands who had the greatest first two albums ever. But their third album came out today. December 6th. It was today in 1988.
Why today doesn't suck?
Roy Orbison died today in 1988 of a heart attack.
And it's unbelievable that he died at the tender age of just 51 years old.
Yeah, he was visiting his mother near Nashville, Tennessee, and he had a heart attack and died.
I mean, he was working with, I think, the second Traveling Wilburys album. He had been, I think it was in Sweden, where they shot his performance of the song You Got It, which actually the video of that was matched up to the record, so it was a bit of a lip-sync thing. But it's just amazing that he died at such a young age.
Did you know what his biggest hit was? His biggest
Crying.
Selling?
Crying.
No, no. His biggest selling number one song in history?
Pretty Woman, then.
Yep. Oh, Pretty Woman.
Oh, Pretty Woman.
One of the most unique voices in rock and roll. That guy could hit any note, pretty much, that could be hit. And he's one of the rock and roll singers that as soon as he opens his mouth, you know who it is.
It was on this date, December 6th in 2012.
Why today doesn't suck.
The longest-serving United States attorney resigned after 11 years. Friend of the show, the cowboy on Poitras, Jim Letton, resigned on this date in 2012.
And he
rode off into the sunset.
He got a lot done as United States attorney. And you know why he had to resign, right? His a couple of people that were just under him, his right and left hand men and women,
right,
got in trouble for anonymously commenting on stories that were on NOLA.com and other things. And some people that looked into that and said, wait a minute, the people that are commenting on it, they have to be on the inside. They know things. Things are being said in these comments that would only come from people that knew details that were on the inside of this investigation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And finally, December 6th. And by the way, one other thing about Jim Letton.
Uh-huh.
I believe now he teaches. He teaches at Loyola, if I'm not mistaken. He teaches,
like,
some sort of
criminology
and
or
law,
yeah.
some kind of course like that. The old cowboy. Now he's not the cowboy on Poitras anymore. He's the uptown cowboy. And finally, December 6th. It was today in 1969.
Why today doesn't suck.
50 years ago today.
The 60s officially came to an end. Peace and love officially came to an end because it was the Altamont Festival. The Altamont concert out there in California, where there was a murder. The Rolling Stones were playing, and they had
had hired Hell's Angels, members of Hell's Angels, as their security.
And one of the Hell's Angels, it's on video. You could see it. One of the Hell's Angels during, I believe, the song Sympathy for the Devil, the Stones were playing at the time. One of their security guards, one of the Hell's Angels, stabbed the guy to death right in front of the stage.
Yep.
Sad story. The 60s officially came to an end today in 1969 with the murder at the Altamont Festival.
And on that happy note, that's a segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Coming up on the show, there's a company who's taken a lot of heat because it's a company that owns a piece of workout equipment. And the people are upset about them because the woman who's on the workout equipment, she's in really good shape. And I guess there's a lot of overweight people, you know, in this day and age in 2019 with social media. On a daily basis, people have to be outraged about something. Wait till you hear this ridiculousness coming up. This needs to end, this social media outrage. We'll explain coming up next here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Yesterday on the show, we told you we're all fired up. I mean, what a football weekend. You got LSU tomorrow playing for the SEC championship against Georgia. And in my opinion, even if they lose, they're still going to make it to the college football playoffs for the first time ever. The top four teams in America, one through four, make it to the college football playoffs. And if LSU loses, they'll be a one-loss SEC team, and their one loss is in the SEC championship game. Now, if Georgia loses, I think they're out. They're out of the playoffs. And then either Oklahoma or Utah will get that last spot. But I think it's going to be a real good game tomorrow. And I like LSU a lot. And I don't think it's really going to be close. Led by who's going to win the Heisman Trophy quarterback, Joe Burrow, I think LSU will handle Georgia. And they score 40 or 50 points every game. And then Sunday, of course, the Saints, 10-2, hosting the 10-2 San Francisco 49ers.
And before the game, from 9:30 until about 11:30, until almost kickoff, I will be your host at Vintage Rock Club right there above Walk-Ons on Poydras. Come by and say hi. I might even let you sign my boot. I'm wearing the Aircast on my left foot. I'm wearing the boot, but come by and we might have a boot.
That's always a good time if you're going to the game. That's the pregame party to go to.
Yes.
So, we mentioned yesterday on the show how when the San Francisco 49ers come here, they're going to be one radio announcer short. You know, not on the injured list, on the suspended list. We told you what happened yesterday.
He's kind of injured. He's on the foot and mouth list.
A guy named Tim Ryan was suspended because of something he said after last week's San Francisco 49ers lost to the Baltimore Ravens. They were talking about the quarterback of the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, who happens to be black. And Tim Ryan, this is what he said, quote, "He's really good at the fake." He's talking about the play action fake.
Sure.
The run pass option when he fakes handing off the football to a running back and then he pulls the ball back and keeps it. He said, quote, "He's really good at that fake, Lamar Jackson. But when you consider his dark skin with a dark football and a dark uniform, you could not see that thing," Tim Ryan said. "I mean, you literally could not see when he was in and out of the mesh point. And if you're a half step slow on him in terms of your vision, forget about it. He's out of the gate." So he's basically saying that his play action fake, his fake handoff to the running back, is so successful because he's black, he's got a black hand and a black arm, and the football is dark brown, and the uniform he was wearing was black. And he said that, boy, that made it tough for defenses to follow the football. Well, a bunch of San Francisco 49ers players are defending him. They're coming to his side to support him. And they're led by Richard Sherman. Remember, he used to play for Seattle.
Sure, high-profile.
Cornerback all of those years.
Yep.
Now Richard Sherman plays for the 49ers. And Richard Sherman said that he wasn't as outraged. He said, quote, "I know Tim personally, and I listened to the dialogue, and I saw it written. And honestly, I wasn't as outraged as everybody else. I understand how it can be taken under a certain context and be offensive to some. But if you're saying this is a brown ball, they're wearing dark colors, and he has a brown arm, honestly, sometimes we were having trouble seeing it on film." Richard Sherman said, "I don't think it's that big of a deal." And then other San Francisco 49ers players have come to this guy's side. So, I mean, I think he's still suspended for this week's game here in New Orleans against the Saints, but he's got players coming to his side. Well, I mean, what do you think? We just mentioned it yesterday, and in the year 2019 with social media, and I blame social media for the daily outrage, because every day people wake up and they have to be outraged about something.
Right.
And now they get it out. They get it out through social media.
It's interesting that Richard Sherman continued. He said he's making a play fake, and sometimes he's swinging his arm really fast, and you're like, okay, does he have the ball in that play? And then you look up, and Mark Ingram's running it. So it was a technically valid point, again, quoting Richard Sherman, but you can always phrase things better. You can always phrase things and not use the phrase "his black skin."
I think that's what got him in trouble, but when he said "his black skin."
Right.
But Richard Sherman and some other 49ers are standing behind this guy, saying they like him, and they weren't as outraged. It's the time we live in now. It's the time we live in. I mean, what he said, kind of, he could have said it a different way, but think about it. They're wearing black jerseys. He's black. The football's very dark. And if he's making a play action fake and he does a really good job, you don't know where the ball is. You don't see it that well.
I'm going to estimate that you just took 8 seconds to explain that, though, and that's the key here. Nobody has time in their daily lives and on social media. 8 seconds is an eternity for you to learn the finer point of what he was trying to say. And so you just see that phrase, his black skin, and you assume that he's being bigoted or insensitive.
And he got suspended.
And I'm sure that was not his intent.
Well, it's pretty cool to see a bunch of the 49ers players stand up for the guy. That's pretty cool. See, my problem is nothing offends me. And my other problem is I do a radio show in the year 2019, and it's so much more difficult now than it was, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, definitely before social media. Because before social media, if somebody didn't like something, they just wouldn't watch it or listen to it anymore. Now, because of social media, if somebody doesn't like something that someone says or does, this is the kind of thing that happens, and it happens over and over and over again. And coming up next, when do you hear this one?
An outrage.
The other day's daily outrage is completely ridiculous, much more ridiculous than this. And this is kind of ridiculous. Stay with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So it was either yesterday or Wednesday's outrage of the day because of social media that really has me scratching my head. There's a commercial that's been on. And it's from a company named Peloton. And Peloton is advertising a stationary exercise bicycle. And in the commercial, the woman on the exercise bicycle is really in good shape. She's svelte. She's thin. And the commercial goes on to say, the gift that gives back. And that sent social media into an outrage, like social media always gets when you've got a bunch of people who do nothing except for sit on their couches or sit in their beds in their underwear, and they just scroll the internet and they see things and they can just fire. They got to be outraged about something on a daily basis. One person, after seeing that commercial, wrote, absolutely 100% chance that the husband in that Peloton ad is abusive. And then many other people clicked like on that and said, I bet you he hits her too. Because she happens to be a very thin woman on an exercise bike that they're advertising on a television commercial for Peloton.
Which I have not seen the commercial, by the way. So I'm a bit hamstrung here on
Brewster,
as far as commenting.
You're
on
not
it.
Missing anything. All yeah. It is, it's a couple. They're a young, attractive couple.
Right.
The man is sitting on the couch. The woman is on the exercise bike, or near the exercise bike. And then the ad says the gift that keeps giving back, and that set people crazy. Meaning that if you have a thin in their sick, twisted minds,
right,
the people who are outraged, if you have a thin, in-shape wife, you know, she'll keep giving back. That's what some people on social media were outraged about.
See, I thought this was going to take the spin of, I mean, I can remember 30 years ago, I would sit transfixed watching the 30-minute infomercial for Soloflex. You remember the Soloflex? The Soloflex was the first... it was the I think it's Bowflex now, but the Soloflex used bands made of heavy duty, heavy gauge rubber, which used your own resistance in an isometric exercise thing. They always started the commercial with the little kid with the glasses who got sand kicked in his face. I mean, they used every cliche possible. And then the man that they showed working out on the Soloflex, he was ripped. But I used my common sense, knowing that he didn't get from point A to point B only by using the Solaflex. You use that to maintain. I mean, that's not just buying, and that machine was expensive. Well, it was like a couple $1,000 30 years ago, I think. Well, but it's all marketing. So, but that's apparently not what we're talking about
no,
here.
No, in the year 2019, you can't have a commercial selling a Christmas present idea around Christmas time for an exercise bicycle that has a very svelte, thin wife on the exercise bicycle, and then the husband sitting in the room without people looking at it and going to social media saying, that husband must beat his wife. that wife is so skinny that husband must be abusive. And then they go on. What are they supposed to do, Peloton as a company?
Right.
Put a big fat woman on the bike? Are they supposed to put an overweight woman on the bicycle? Is that what they're supposed to do? But this is just another example of people in our outraged culture that we have now because of social media. They see something and they go nuts. They see a skinny woman on an exercise bicycle, and then they go to social media to say, I bet you that husband beats up the wife there. A, they're actors. Both of them are actors.
Right.
And by the way, the actor who played the husband, he's taken advantage of this. He's just opened up a Twitter account, and he titled it, he's called the Peloton Husband, because this is, he thinks this might help his acting career. He said, boy, I must have done a good job acting in my 5 seconds of screen time on this commercial. But people, can you believe people are offended by this? You know what? You know what? And again, I've said this before. I just said it. I'll say it again. My problem is nothing offends me. But if people want to be offended, have you ever seen that commercial with the attractive white couple sitting inside their big house, and they say she gives him a Christmas present, and then he says, or she says, he says
he
to her,
says, I he, bought you something.
He says
some
to her, too, yeah, I got your Christmas present too. And then they open the door, and in the driveway,
right,
there are two brand new GMC trucks.
Right.
One of them's a pickup truck. The other one's an SUV.
Right. There's about $250,000 worth of vehicle there in the driveway.
Actually, to be honest with you, $130,000 a vehicle on two trucks.
I take all the options, so I round up a little higher.
When the average American household brings in around $50,000 to $60,000, whatever it is, here's a commercial for GMC saying, look at this, honey. I just put $130,000 worth of brand new GMC vehicles in our driveway. And she goes, I want the pickup.
Right,
and
she immediately,
he wanted that one,
right.
But he's like, oh, I guess it's yours, you know?
It's assumed that the man is going to get the black pickup truck and she'll get the red SUV, and she runs immediately to the black pickup and says, I love it.
Now, I would think that would be more offensive to the average American. Again, the average American household brings in about, what, $50,000 to $60,000 a year. There's $130,000 worth of brand new GMC vehicles in the driveway, and this couple walks out. Hey, Merry Christmas! Look what we got.
And their house is like a glass palace.
Yeah,
split level. Their house looks like it could have an elevator. Seriously,
to me, that should offend more Americans than the skinny wife on the Peloton exercise bicycle. But people are losing their minds over that. We have to get to a point in our country where we survive the social media outrage, where we can look at the social media outrage and just say, stop it, get back to your boring lives and go be outraged about something else. And it shouldn't affect people the way it does right now. But the outrage culture in America is awful. It's awful, and I completely blame social media. Hey, coming up, and we're going to talk to one of the original Doobie Brothers. We've got an interview with him coming up.
That's Patrick Simmons.
Well, yeah, in case somebody didn't know who Patrick Simmons was.
Well, you didn't use his name at all.
But next year, 2020, is the 50th anniversary for the Doobies, and he's coming on the show. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7.
The Preservation Resource Center presents its 44th annual Holiday Home Tour, December 14th and 15th. Presented by McHenry Residential, the tour features 7 stunning private homes dressed for the holidays in the Garden District and Lower Garden District. Tickets at prcno.org.
Hey, New Orleans, it's football season, and everyone...
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. The Doobie Brothers there, and they just announced that next year, 2020, starts in less than a month, they're going on tour to celebrate their 50th anniversary. It's the 50th year the Doobie Brothers were a band.
And they're coming here in October to the Smoothie King Center. Tickets for that show go on sale this morning. They go on sale today. And joining us now on the Celebrity Hotline, from the Doobie Brothers, it's Patrick Simmons. Good morning, Patrick. This is your 50-year anniversary coming up, starting in a month. Did you ever think 50 years ago, when you put this little band together, that 50 years later you'd be doing a 50th anniversary tour?
Never imagine my imagination did I think that would be happening.
What do you think of the way so much about music has changed in the last 50 years? What do you make of the way the music industry is now compared to when you started? It used to be you put out an album, people bought it, you made money, you toured, sold T-shirts, but now people don't buy music anymore. What do you think about that?
They buy music. They just buy it through a different medium, through downloads and stuff. So that's really different. I don't think people buy albums as much as they do just, individual songs. They have a playlist that they make. And then, once again, streaming music is really popular. So in that respect, the way people receive their music is different. But I don't think the way they perceive it is so different. People still love to go out and see live music. People still love to listen to music, however they listen to it. They like to yell at Alexa to start playing for them. It's different, but I got to say, as a music fan, I still enjoy the way I enjoy the new ways that music come to me personally. A little more random than it used to be, although maybe it was always random in a certain respect. But I enjoyed it as much as ever myself.
We're talking with Patrick Simmons. He's a co-founder of the Doobie Brothers, and starting in January, it's their 50th anniversary. And you got Michael McDonald to rejoin the band for the 50th anniversary. Was that a surprise to you? And how did that come about?
A certain amount of surprise. Michael and I, the two of us, had talked about it through the years about him possibly doing some shows with us. And I had mentioned it to the other guys here and there that I thought it would be something fun to do. And, it was one of those things that was kind of on the back burner that we might do eventually. And so here we are. We put it on the front burner, and we're doing it.
And it's good to see you're back with Tom Johnson as well, because you guys you formed the band together back in the day. And then he left for a while, and then he came back. It's good to see that everything is going well with you all.
Yeah, we actually, Tommy and I have been touring together, working together for 30 years now, since, we kind of reformed the band back in the late 80s. So it's been going really well. We've, been having fun and still being creative, still coming up with new music and, have a great touring band. And, it's all about having fun and having good songs to play for people, and really that it's continued in that direction for me and for all of us.
Patrick Simmons, do you still get that same feeling that you got when you were a kid 50 years ago, when you strap the guitar on, you hop up on stage and you're ready to play live in front of a bunch of people? Do you still get that same feeling?
Absolutely. Kind of wish it would go away sometimes. I'm always a little nervous and always, that anticipation of getting out there and hoping you can do it without making a lot of mistakes. that's part of being a performer, I think, is having that edge all the time. And you have to keep that edge. Otherwise, it goes stale. But it's important. And even as a kid, out there playing, I was always trying to remember every note that I knew I had to play, and hoping they would be there, at the moment you needed them to express them. So, I'm still that kid, I think.
Well, obviously you still love it, because I don't think you have to do this anymore. The Doobie Brothers have sold lots of records. You've had so many classic hits. You've had so many great songs. You're only doing this because you want to do it, right?
one of our members said, we get paid to travel and we play for free.
Good, great gig if you could get it. Hey, one more thing I wanted to ask you about. And by the way, this is I'm honored to be talking with you. I got two more questions for you. One question. When I think of the Doobie Brothers, it brings me back to an old television sitcom called What's Happening that you guys filmed back, I think it was the late 70s. And you did that TV show, and I guess a couple of the people in the crowd were bootlegging your concert. They were recording it live with a cassette tape recorder. Do you remember that? What are your memories from that?
Yeah, it was rerun. Fred, that was Fred Doug.
Fred Berry.
Fred Berry, yeah. Fred was doing that. He had a big old giant cassette player that he was recording the show with. Yeah, now everybody's got their cell phone and they're recording concerts every night.
Yeah,
every note.
Rerun would have
videoing it.
Rerun would have a lot easier time these days.
Absolutely.
Hey, and what are your thoughts of the city of New Orleans? You like playing here? You like our city? Does its music get inside you?
You know, it is, and I guess it's okay to say this, it is like my favorite town in America to visit. You know, I can't wait to, you know, get down the French Quarter and hear some music and, you know, go to K. Paul's and go to Cohen's Antique Guns and, you know, just hang out and just walk around, you know, day and night I'm there, you know, have a drink at one of the bars down there, you know, just, you know, it's always been kind of an ideal hangout. You know, my ghost will probably haunt the quarter after I'm gone.
Well, Patrick Simmons, this was a lot of fun. Congratulations on the 50th anniversary of your band, the Doobie Brothers, starting in a little over a month. And congratulations on such a successful rock and roll life. Pretty awesome stuff.
That's very nice of you. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
All right, sir. Have a great one. Thank you.
You too. Thanks.
Do you know that they have one of the biggest selling albums in history, the Doobie Brothers Greatest Hits?
Greatest Hits.
Greatest Hits.
Right.
It's a diamond album. And if you have a diamond album, that means it's sold more than
2 million,
10
right?
million.
10 million, wow.
Yeah. 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 Gold is 500,000. Mm-hmm. Platinum is 1 million. And then they do double platinum, triple platinum. You get to diamond platinum. That's 10. So they have one of the biggest selling albums in music history, Doobie Brothers.
I'm trying to listen to the song here. I like this part. What's Happening?
Do you remember that?
I remember that episode clearly.
They were trying to, and I guess Rerun had an old cassette tape recorder in his pants, and it fell out onto the floor. And I think that's when Skunk Baxter was in the Doobie Brothers.
Skunk Baxter was,
because he started pointing. Right. Him and Patrick Simmons, they started pointing, pointing at Rerun and pointing to the floor. I remember that show, What's Happening. That was
very
good
cool
stuff.
Doobie Brothers tickets go on sale this morning at 10 a.m. through all the usual outlets. If you would like to have a chance to win a pair, go to our website at Santa's Huge Sack right now at Bayou957.com.
And coming up on our show, a bunch of Louisiana wedding venues are now in limbo because wedding planning websites have stopped pushing plantation weddings. We'll tell you more about that coming up.
And the dumbest thing you read all week.
Yes. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Did you know that here in Louisiana, we have at least 24 wedding venues that refer to themselves as a plantation? Go get married at the plantation.
Well, they don't say it like that, but okay.
Well, that number may be going down because I was just reading these venues are in limbo now after wedding planning websites stop pushing plantation weddings. The website Pinterest, they have chosen to limit autocomplete and search recommendations regarding plantations. And it will also limit email notifications and what shows up on Google. Five very popular wedding websites have announced they will no longer push plantation weddings. I mean, I think that's something. That's something that is big around here, but probably not anywhere else in America. Plantation weddings. You know, we've done. I remember they used to have a beer festival down in Houma, and they would have it on a plantation. I forgot the name of it. And one of my buddies, who happens to be black, Chris Coleman, he always wanted to go to that. And he would always say, "Hey, you going to the plantation for the?" He didn't want to go because of the plantation. It was on a plantation. He wanted to go because he was a big fan of beer. But they just happened to have a beer festival on a plantation. And I remember walking around that plantation with him. And he'd stop and look at the really big trees. And he would say, "Wow, so this is what a plantation is, huh?" But,
Is that why you made him walk 10 steps behind you?
No.
No, no.
Are you kidding? I walked 10 steps behind that guy.
You walk fast. You have those long legs like a gazelle.
But it looks like this is going to be the beginning of the end of Louisiana plantation weddings. Because now wedding planning websites are not going to send people there. They're going to take any reference to them off of their websites. And
it'd be like if Rand McNally took offense to us using the term parishes as opposed to counties and saying, "Well, we're just not going to put that in the map." I mean, it's part of the fabric. It's part of the culture.
Well,
but again, it's something that someone's got to be offended over, be outraged over.
Do you think these websites are wrong for saying we're not going to send people to plantation wedding sites anymore?
Well, there are venues around Louisiana that is their name, and they are popular to have weddings there. And are you saying that because of pressure from outside magazines outside Louisiana, they should change their names?
Well, what's the first thing that goes through a lot of people's minds when they hear the word plantation?
Outside of Louisiana, I know where you're going, but it's different here. Which should be the state motto, by the way. Louisiana, it's different here.
Yeah, it used to be a sportsman's paradise. Now, it's different here. Well, I have a feeling parishes are going to last a lot longer than plantations and plantation weddings. Yeah. There you go. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all week. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And since it's about 8:35, I'll tell you the dumbest thing I read all week. I got two things here. And since Brewster's voice is going out to lunch, I'll read the runner-up and I'll read the winner.
My doctor called and he said, "Stop talking on the air."
All right, here's the runner-up, the dumbest thing I read all week. Woman on oxygen killed while smoking a cigarette. And this was a big explosion.
Dateline, Harrah's Arena Casino. I mean, Harrah's Arena. Messed that up.
This was a big explosion in North Carolina. This happened.
Dateline, some casino in North Carolina.
A North Carolina woman died when police say her oxygen tank exploded in her home after she lit up a cigarette. Now, people on oxygen should realize that if they want to smoke, they need to turn the oxygen tank off.
Wait, don't write that down. I don't smoke.
The 61-year-old woman was using her oxygen tank and smoking a cigarette at the same time in her Nash County, North Carolina home Tuesday morning. The cigarette ignited Belinda Coble's oxygen tank, which exploded and created a fire in the neighborhood. Her husband was sleeping in another room. Lucky he's still alive to tell the story.
Well, he was trying to sleep.
The explosion woke him up. And he managed to call 911 and survive. It's pretty sad. that obviously she knew she wasn't supposed to smoke a cigarette while she's on oxygen.
Well, you would think so.
You keep lighted materials away from oxygen tanks.
Flames, sparks, cigarettes.
Yeah.
I have audio. I don't know if you want it or not. Do you want it? Should we try it? Okay.
You know that Christmas?
Maybe not.
Christmas is coming, and then the holidays are here. We get together with family members. I had a friend who had an aunt that always visited on Christmas, and she used to smoke cigarettes through the hole that was cut in her throat.
Yes.
Have you ever seen that?
Yes, I have. People who have had a tracheostomy because of cancer or smoking-related difficulties actually holding a cigarette up to the hole in their trachea smoking.
I got to be honest with you. You know, before the internet and before YouTube, I used to go over his house just to see that. I mean, I have a little eggnog, too, but I said, wait, is your aunt coming over again, the one that for Christmas? Mm-hmm. She smokes a cigarette through the hole in her throat. I said, yeah, I said, hey, I'll be over. Just let me know when she's coming over.
Right.
And I couldn't believe it. I'd sit there and I'd watch it. I'd be like, whoa, he's committed.
Was that Aunt Henny?
That was a friend's aunt.
No.
Anyways. Well, that's the runner-up, the woman who died when her oxygen tank blew up when she lit a cigarette.
Very sad story.
It's a sad story.
And now?
Now here's the dumbest thing that I read all week. Mother, upset with son's haircut, drives car into barbershop. This happened in Northern California. I guess the town, how would you pronounce this town? It's spelled A-N-T-I-O-C-H.
Antioch.
Antioch?
Yeah. It's in the Bible.
Oh. Anyways, Antioch police are searching for a woman who witnesses say intentionally drove her car first into a barber and then into his barber shop after she was dissatisfied with the haircut he gave her son. This happened on Wednesday, 3:45 in the afternoon.
Here, I'll toss your Bible to you. Are you ready? Here, catch.
Well, I wasn't... Ouch. I wasn't sure what I was looking at there because that could pronounce that a couple of different ways.
Or no, just the one.
If you add a letter...
The one. Antioch. Continue.
Well, the suspect was causing a scene outside the barber shop. Mm-hmm. She wasn't happy with her son's haircut. The barber went outside to record her license plate number, and that's when she tried to run him over. She hit him with her car, knocking him to the ground, and then she drove her car in through the windows of his barber shop. The barber was actually knocked into the store's glass windows, breaking them, and he sustained a leg injury. The 63-year-old barber was transported to a local hospital, and they are looking for the woman, 28-year-old Ruby Delgadillo.
There's different many ways you could say that.
Yes.
Don't you talk about Dizzy!
Now, Bruce, I'm going to say to you, in regards to this story, what I say when we see road rage and people lose their minds.
Mm-hmm.
This woman had other things going on in her life that weren't going very well. And I think that the son's haircut pushed her over the limit. Because most people, most mothers, if they're not happy with their son's haircut, they will just say, oh, we're not happy, and we'll never come back here again.
And it'll eventually grow out.
This woman started screaming in the parking lot. When the barber came out, she ran him into the glass windows of his...
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Mm-hmm. ...of his barber shop, breaking the windows and his leg, and then took off. In my opinion, and again, I'm no psychiatrist or psychologist.
Nor barber.
This woman has other issues going on in her life, because if she didn't, she wouldn't have done this.
Mm.
This just put her over the top.
Mm.
You know, one of my Facebook friends who's divorced, she went nuts because evidently her estranged husband took their son for a haircut, mm-hmm. and she liked the fact that he used to have long hair touching his shoulders. Mm-hmm. And the kid's like six or eight. The husband didn't like that, and he basically gave the kid a crew cut.
But it'll grow back.
Oh, my God. My Facebook friend, the wife, mm-hmm. the mother, she went nuts on Facebook, calling him every name in the book. Talk about taking your personal problems and putting them on a place where a lot of people, well, I didn't really care to see it, but mm-hmm. I guess other people did like seeing it. She went, how dare you, because we're divorced.
All right.
You take our son to get his hair cut. I liked him with long hair. And like, the father didn't shave the head, and now the... What a public feud on Facebook. That lasted for like a month, all over the kid's haircut. And then this woman, she was very passionate about the haircut her son got as well.
So yes.
I guess this is one thing that, you know, haircuts could send mothers into tizzies.
Hmm. Please remember, John Osterlin is not a rattlesnake milker.
We've got this story.
That's good to know.
I've got the picture of the mother, and I think we got a picture of the actual scissors, too. If you want to see the dumbest thing I read all week, it's on our website at Bayou957.com. Bayou95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So Starbucks has relaxed their dress code for workers, not their customers. You can wear pretty much whatever you want to wear when you go into Starbucks.
And I do.
But their workers just had their dress code relaxed. And now their workers, their employees, say they're now allowed to wear one specifically formerly banned accessory.
Let me think.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Before, they were only allowed to wear earrings when it came to piercings.
All right. Nose piercings.
Yes!
Well, don't yell at me.
Well, no, but you got it. Don't be surprised the next time you go into Starbucks, if your baristas start sporting some new facial accessories this week. Mm. The coffee chain confirmed it has updated its dress code to allow employees or partners, as Starbucks calls them. Do you know that they call their employees partners?
I did not know that.
They're allowed now, quote, to bring their whole selves to work. They didn't specify what exactly, but most employees realize that they will be allowed to wear one facial piercing of their choosing.
Right.
And that seems to be the most popular one, seems to be the nose stud.
I make just one plea for those of you on social media? I would like a 10-year moratorium. If you see anything on social media about Starbucks and you feel the need to complain about how you never go there because it's an $8 cup of coffee, knock it off. That's not clever. It's played out. It's not original. It's not cute. It's not funny. Knock it off.
And if you do go to Starbucks now, you'll see some of the workers in there. They will have nose studs.
Yes.
Because they're allowed to wear them now. I guess a lot of their employees were bitching and complaining. Can't we be ourselves? Ourselves include, I got to have this big stud through my nose. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. For gift ideas, now that Christmas is around the corner, Walmart is bringing back by popular demand, and they're selling their KFC fried chicken scented fire log. If you want your living room, or I know fireplaces aren't big around here in the South, but up north and in the Midwest.
Well, fire pits outside when it gets cold enough.
Okay, if you want your outside fire pit to smell like KFC fried chicken, the 11 herbs and spices, you can go to Walmart and get your KFC fried chicken scented fire log. I wondered if it smelled anything like the gravy as well, but the gravy isn't included in this. It's just the 11 herbs and spices.
Well, they tried the gravy, but the gravy kept putting the fire out.
That's just about going to do it for the show tonight. Thanks for listening. Have a great, safe weekend. We'll be back Monday morning. And coming up next, it's Ginty. And he's got your music notes at noon and a lot of other things as well. Ginty! It's the John Osterlin Show here on Bayou 95.7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.